Today, we've got a very special guest. Ole Damegaard, he is the man behind the false flag research. And in today's episode, we get into many concepts of the false flag and the concepts behind that. Talk about relationships that he has with Tom Cruise's character in American Made, Barry Seal. We go through a lot of topics here that you're going to find of great interest. We go through the problem, reaction, solution template, the commission, strategies of the CIA, and so much more. Today, I want to give you this whole show for free. This is going to be courtesy of the Patreon supporters. As you already know, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher is where you can sign up. And you can get a free copy of The Dark Path. And you'll get early access to all the shows, no commercials, bonus content, and so on. So I want you to go and sign up and join the rest of the crew. There's actually another topic I'd like to quickly discuss. It is the unveiling of the Area 51 video that I created. As you know, I was banned and removed from YouTube. Thus, I put it on my Gumroad store, gumroad.com/IsaacW. And on that page, you will find a video that I created of my trip to Area 51 in Groom Lake, where you'll see how I retraced the steps of X-Files and checked out the little alien and so on. You can get on there, and if you're a Patreon supporter, you got a promo code where you can get it for free. If you're not on the Patreon list, it's only a dollar, because I have to put an actual price on there, because Gumroad, they have to host the video, right? Gotta pay for the hosting. So that's the lowest price I could charge, so there it is. Or of course, you could just sign up on Patreon and get the free code. Up to you. Anyways, that is the latest. Let's get into the show. Ole, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm excited to have you on the show. I've been listening to some of your stuff in the past, and you might be my most controversial guest yet.
There you go.
So, yeah, let's get right into it. There's, you know, on my show, I like to sort of get inside of the past of some of the guests to figure out, you know, how did you end up getting onto this path that you're on today? Because, you know, in your research, you talk about some ideas of like false flags, a little bit on crisis actor ideas, and some pretty controversial stuff. So how exactly did you get into this realm of study?
What got me started was, good question. I think I was brought up in a family in Denmark where many in my family was involved in the resistance movement during the Second World War against the Nazi occupation. So my granddad was in jail for helping Jews, smuggling Jews to Sweden. My dad was in the resistance movement itself. My grandmother's sister was supplying the underground movement with weapons in a baby cot and so on. So I grew up with these stories about how important it is to stand up for the truth, to stand up for what is true and right the way you see it, even though it can be very scary at times and also very alone. And then when I grew up, we moved to Sweden, and started working. After a while, I began as a journalist, and while working as a journalist, I think some of the things I learned was to listen to what was being said, very important, but also listen to not what was not being said, what was kept away, and because it's often is in what is not said that the real truth is hiding. Hmm. So you need to be very aware, depending on also who you're interviewing, and, you know, see the body language, see the eye movements, these type of things, to get a feeling for this individual that you're interviewing. And I also believe that I learned the art of asking questions instead of just talking nonstop, as many of us do. So it was a very good learning process for me. At the same time, I sort of what can I say? I got a bit disillusioned because over the years I started seeing that the people calling themselves journalists have lost track, many of them, and especially nowadays it's like real journalists are very, very few to find nowadays, in my humble opinion. Most nowadays are so stressed, under so much pressure and so much time stress as well, you know, and it's fast news. It's much more important with fast news to be the first one to deliver instead of really checking out the facts. And when you look for the real truth in many of these major cases, like major assassinations or major alleged terror attacks and so on, it is hard work, and you really need to spend, in my case, like thousands and thousands and thousands of hours in some of these cases, like the JFK assassination, Martin mm-hmm. Luther King, the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, Robert Kennedy, these type of cases, 9/11, Lady Diana. I mean, it's just an endless amount of work to get anywhere near the real truth, because it has been covered up with so many layers of veils of deceit and lies and untruths and half-truths and so on, totally part of the design.
These journalists are victims to this fast news cycle, kind of like what you're saying there, and it sort of begs the question of, are we seeing this deception from a shadowy Illuminati group, or is it a deception because that's just the way things are now, and news moves fast, and journalists, they want to be the first to break the story. Maybe they get fed a line of, you know, something that's not true, and maybe they run with it, you know, because that's what I've been kind of trying to figure out in the last few years, is like, is there really an Illuminati? Like, just to take a step back and say, okay, are we being paranoid about things, or is this a legitimate thing that's happening? And it's difficult for me because, as you've alluded to a minute ago, there seems to be, if you keep looking at things, at some point there's an insertion of something so false that it can't help but think, well, someone did this on purpose. There's purposeful deception in a lot of these news stories. And I'm wondering if, you know, what do you, you know, because you have this past in journalism, what do you make on this with today's journalists? Do you think they're all in on the secret, or you think maybe some of them?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. All of these operations, including how to control media, is totally compartmentalized. Everybody is only known are only allowed to know their little part. They're only allowed to do their little part of the machine, their little task. That is part of the whole setup. Very, very few people are aware of the whole picture. And then it's sort of like also in a pyramid power structure, pyramids inside pyramids inside pyramids inside pyramids, compartmentalized, so that it's very, very confusing. And most people truly believe that they're doing exactly their utmost, they're doing exactly what they're there for. But it's once you start seeing it from a higher and higher point of view, which I've done. I mean, I've devoted some 35 years of my life into doing this. I've had friends murdered around me. I had to move country, right, and so on. So I paid a high price for no benefit on my own to come to a clearer understanding of what I believe is going on. And in the beginning, in many, many years, during many, many years, I had no idea that so many of these things were connected. It's only over time and time and time and very, very deep research that I've started bumping into the very same names in so many different cases, so many different topics, so many different areas. And I'm at a point now where I totally believe that what we're seeing is the work of the New World Order, the dark agenda. Who is in the absolute top? I do not know. I'm more on a street level, tracking down assassins or exposing alleged false flag attacks or terror attacks, state-sponsored terrorism. I'm more on that level and leave the bigger picture to other researchers, even though I'm quite aware of a lot of it. So it is, this thing is Is every interviewer or any journalist in on it? Absolutely not. They haven't got a clue about what is actually going on. They are just focused on what Britney Spears had for breakfast or whatever their task was given that day. You know, because they're under a lot of stress. Even journalists from that makes, you know, really so-called hard-hitting documentaries and stuff, like they're under, you know, it's a matter of finances, it's a matter of commercials, it's a matter of how to, and deadlines and all of these things. They're under tremendous pressure, and they're not, many of them are not given the time that is needed to really look into these things. So many, many people are doing their very best, but and they have no idea what they're actually involved in.
Yeah, I could see that. I believe that. I think that our culture today is more forced onto this sort of hamster wheel, and maybe that's by design too. Maybe the and like you said, you don't particularly know who the puppet masters are, and that's a big source of contention I get when I talk to people about this sort of idea. And they always ask, well, who is the Illuminati? And, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously there's not a ledger that we're able to read and see who's on this thing. You know, but there are certain names that come up often, perhaps. Do you have any insight into any ideas of who could be involved? I mean, maybe not in the supposed, and I'm saying Illuminati, but that's just a generic term for a power structure that's doing things sort of covertly or deceptively. Do you have any idea of maybe some names that come up often that, you know, suggest they're worth, you know, watching to see what else they say and do?
I'm very aware up to a level of where, for instance, the Bilderberg group, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, that level, I'm very aware of individuals and their role in this whole thing. And they are definitely part of this shadowy world government, the deep state, that we're not officially being told what they're up to, but they are definitely part of it. But then you have all the layers above. And I tell you, the real power, I believe, are with individuals that you've never heard of. Never, ever. They their names are not out there. Because their whole power is in the veils of the shadow. I mean, that's the whole power. And you will see many of these families when you get up there in the power pyramid. Their mottos are like, for instance, rule through invisibility, or you got different agencies like war by deception. And so it's a very, very tricky one. The higher up you come, the more foggy it gets, and the harder it is to find out and to be able to point in at anyone specific. And also up there, who is it? I mean, is it aliens, reptiles, Jesuits, the Vatican, Illuminati? Who is up there? I don't know. Is it a matrix we're in? Is it all just an illusion? I don't know. I just know that in here and now, I need to follow my compassion and my passion to find out what on this level I see as the truth, and do everything I can to reveal it and to break the spell of fear. That is one of my main focuses, too, by showing methods that are being used, the templates that are being used against us, which are actually very, very few. Once you start seeing the ingredients in these different operations, then normal people can start seeing for themselves. And that, as soon as you start seeing that, whoop, this is actually fake, then the spell is broken, the spell of fear, because it's only through fear that they can control us, and they are very, very aware of it. I say they, well, I'm doing things with my fingers, they, because who are they? I don't know. But once you get behind the scenes, you will see that it is over the decades and centuries, there's always been a small little so-called power elite, or they've named themselves the elite, that have had the the agenda to become absolute ruthless rulers, turn the rest of us into slaves so that we will crawl around kissing their feet, doing whatever we can for them, while even paying them to make them our rulers. And once you get an understanding, and this is also what they fear, once we start seeing how few they really are, how powerless they really are, then that is the danger to them. So the truth is very, very scary to them. And it's only through deception that they can pump themselves up so that we believe in that, oh my God, they're so powerful. Oh my God, they're this and that and that. So that we sort of bend over into obedience. But I tell you, once you pull the curtain, just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, you will see that the power behind it is most of them are old guys with no talent except for betraying or backstabbing or manipulating, lying. That is mostly their, and being totally ruthless, greedy. But these are the characteristics of the power structure behind the scenes that you will see. So I don't envy them, I tell you, because they live in a sea of sharks. They're surrounded by like-minded, all of them sharks, that will kill for their own greed and backstab and whatever to get into a more beneficial position for themselves. So it's ugly there, that I can tell you.
I agree with your ideas there. I think that, like you say, fear is basically a tool of control. And from what my research is going towards, it seems that they, the Illuminati, believe that man needs to be controlled, that without a control system in place, man is a savage and will pursue these sort of animalistic desires. I mean, this is something I've been talking about on my show for the last few weeks with Sigmund Freud and so on. But I that's curious that you said that the fear is the tool of control. And you know, you talked about the ideas of a template for false flag or you know, other sort of events that are made to be part of this control system. And what I wanted to do, you know, having you on here as a guest today, is because I'm not very privy into a lot of these false flag attacks. I've seen some evidence for some of them. There's some that are a little controversial, so I don't talk about them too much because, as you may have heard, I got my YouTube channel. I got banned from YouTube because who knows why. One theory is that I made mention of Sandy Hook because I had said, and what was curious was what my statement was that I don't know that I believe it was a false flag with crisis actors. Like, I've seen some of the evidence and ideas that suggest it could be. But when it comes down to it, I kind of told everyone, like, yo, maybe it could be, but like, I'm not going to go there because like, there's real people involved here. And if it really did happen, you know, I don't want to get involved in that sort of element of this whole conspiracy theorizing. But with that said, I would like to hear and have you share with the audience here, like, what kind of template is it that we should look for to, you know, to start peeling back layers of an onion to see, okay, maybe this is set up?
The template is something I've never found. It's only because I've spent so many years looking into so many different cases that I've started to see a very clear pattern being repeated, repeated, repeated. And so this is why I'm talking about these templates, because I think these are methods that was actually developed by the old Romans and that they've been used ever since then. Mm-hmm. They've just been upgraded. And because the old Romans had the exact same problem then, you know, they were a small little group in Rome trying to control the rest of the world or the whole Roman Empire. How do they do it? And because they're sitting there in their white robes and people are like thousands of kilometers away, how can they control them? And it's only through deception and through the deception of power and to keep people in fear mode. That's the only thing they can do. So when you look at these templates that are being used, you will see that when it comes to assassinations, top political assassinations, and alleged terror attacks, they are very, very similar to the setup. Now I'm talking about state-sponsored, staged terrorism, which is according to the strategy of tension, the old CIA agenda. a way of inflicting fear into modern society so that the population will just bend over and accept more and more militarized police, more and more control, more and more CCTV cameras, body scanners, backscatters, you name it, if for their own protection. It's all based on an old Roman template called problem, reaction, solution. Super important to understand this one. Problem, reaction, solution. The few in power secretly create a problem. This could be in the form of a bomb, a virus scare, a financial crash, a mass shooting, something, or a terror attack. The people in power, secretly create that. And the reason to do that is to get us, the normal person, into an absolute reaction of fear. They don't want us to think first and then act. They want a total, based on feelings, you know, that you just react emotionally out of fear, because then you don't use the brain. So problem is they create it, boom, to get the reaction from us. Oh my God, we need protection. And then we turn towards the elite, the ones that we have elected and are thinking that they are there to protect us, not understanding that it's actually them who created the problem, saying, please, please protect us, protect us. And then they will say, well, the only way we can protect you in this difficult situation with that horrible problem is, and boom, in comes the solution. And nowadays, every single time, the solution is the same. Get rid of the guns, more and more control, robocops, tanks in the street, martial law, CCTV cameras, body scanners, backscatters, you name it. If it's anything that has to do with control in the population, there are millions available. If it's anything to do with homeless people, hospitals, elderly care, housing, schooling, whatever, no, very sorry, there's no money. We're out of finances. Sure. So part of the template is that there would be a patsy, someone that would be blamed for it, because the operation itself is carried out by a very professional. If it's an assassination, then it would be professional shooters, snipers, soldiers of fortune with a background in the military, security forces, or NATO, or the Gladio network. They would be pulled in from there, assassins. And they will be, most of the time, it would be triangular fire or multiple shooters, multiple getaway cars, carried out military style execution, if it's a real assassination. But they need a patsy to blame it on. So the patsy is very important. The patsy, it's always alone and crazy, or alone and fanatic, because the reason why they want him alone is then by law, there's no conspiracy. Then in the court case, if he's suicided or he shoots himself or dies or whatever on location, then case closed right away. And then the reason why they want him crazy is because then there's no need for a motive. He just went up there and shot him because he was crazy. He blew that bomb because he was crazy. He did that mass shooting because he was crazy. And so once again, no need for a motive. So the case can be closed so fast. And thank you, folks. Good night. And go back to sleep. That's the idea with the patsy. Then there would be an investigation. The investigation is part of the crime. These are handpicked people, mostly from Freemasonic networks and so on, where the commissioner of police, the police commissioners, sheriffs from the FBI, depending on what country you are in, they will be in the control of these forces. So the investigation is super important because they are part of the crime. The only task they have is to cover up the truth, point towards the patsy. And also, if someone like myself keep asking questions, deal with them. And in the end, destroy them. Destroy their reputation. And sometimes quite a few people also end up dead if they keep pushing for the real truth. So that's the investigation. The investigation is also then, if people keep criticizing, asking questions, it will be followed by a commission. The commission is also part of the crime. They don't know the whole structure, that's standard. None of them know the whole picture, except for a handpicked few in the top. But the commission is there also just to cover the whole thing up, drag it out for about a year. They will sit there behind closed doors and look like they're working, I tell you, they're throwing darts, drinking cognac and brandy or whatever, having a good time, and then they come out after 1 year and say, ooh, this was so much hard work. They will present you maybe 1,500 pages of absolute nonsense that will lead nowhere. These papers will say, well, the investigation made mistakes here, 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 and here, but we've done a good job. Otherwise than that, they've done a good job. So thank you and goodbye. Not a single step closer to the real truth, because they have not looked into the crime. And so if we don't accept that commission, it will just be followed by another commission, and they will name it some beautiful, the truth and blah, blah commission, the Stardust, this commission, whatever, is still part of the crime. And these people in the commissions are mostly controlled through Freemasonic and other connections. So often also they just change the place. So in one commission, for instance, the submarine commission, one guy is the chairman of the commission and blah, blah, blah. Then it's an assassination. They just, like in a chess play, move around, change positions. And then another guy is the chairman, but it's the same people more or less in this commission. And you can go through the careers. If you back down the line, you will see, oh, here he is again. Oh, there he is again. Oh, there she is again. And so on. Then you have the forensic, right after the crime, there's a forensic team going in there to secure the crime site. That's the official version. Nope. What they're doing is they're cleaning it up so that there will be no real evidence pointing towards the real culprits, the professional hit team or whatever, the people that did the demolition, or they would clear the crime site for the evidence pointing towards the real truth, and then they would plant evidence pointing towards the patsy. And also what they aim for is to get an as strong as emotional reaction as possible. They need to go for victims that are children or women. These are the things that get the emotions going. So when there are mass shootings or alleged terror attacks, you never, hardly ever see some old geezer that died. They never blow up something out in the countryside. It's very often where there's daycare centers, where women and children, teenagers are there also. Often beautiful young women and so on, because it's to get the emotions going. And so when it comes to, for instance, mass shootings are more or less an American thing, because it's in the US where the normal person has guns. And here we have problem, reaction, solution. What is the problem? They don't see it as, well, we need to get more mental health care or whatever, because apparently there are all of these crazy young teenagers that just walks around shooting each other. That's not the problem. The weapons is the problem. That's why they keep pointing towards the weapon. So problem, reaction, solution. What is the solution? It is for you, the normal citizen, to give up your weapon. That's the whole agenda with the mass shootings. And so the victims, the alleged victims, are teenagers, a lot of them young, beautiful women and so on, to get the emotions going. Oh my God, it's so horrible, it's so horrible. We have to stand up and give up the weapons. But when you see over in the history, every time a dictator has come and really taken over, one of the first thing they do is to disarm the population, get away the guns, and boom, in they can come in and just take total control.
Yeah, so I agree with you right there with the because you know, I don't lean to the right politically too hard, but as far as the guns go, that's one argument I do agree with a lot of the conservatives, is that you're 100% right. You know, they have these mass shootings, and instead of focusing on fixing up the mental state of our country, which is in complete disarray, they talk about taking out the guns. And it's like that seems to kind of prove your point of this problem, reaction, solution. And you were saying, as part of this template, the victims are a consideration here, and I'm thinking as you're talking, and I'm like, you know, I see what you're saying, because when you focus on women, children, teens, it's, yeah, we've got the Aurora Batman shooting, we've got the Sandy Hook shooting with the kids, and there was a shooting at a church, you know, and these were all, yeah, the victims, it wasn't like, you know, like something out in the middle of nowhere. It was like Oklahoma City. There was a daycare there. There's always an emotional drive there. So I'm picking up what you're saying right now about that. That's very interesting.
So what they also do is they choose targets. For instance, if we're talking terror attacks, which is mostly in Europe, there's not that many in the US, but we're back to problem reaction solution and how to shake the citizens of European countries, because most Europeans are so well off. We're well fed, you know, most are in a lot of debt, but otherwise than that, everything is okay, it's peaceful here in Europe and so on. So how can you stir it up? It is only through random violence that can just happen at any time without any agenda behind it. This is also based on the strategy of tension, this CIA strategy that has been in place since the mid-50s, and where Gladio, I don't know how aware of you and your audience is about Gladio, but that is super important to understand.
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh my God.
Okay, Gladio?
So Gladio. Gladio is, it was a creation that was created after the Second World War by the NSC and the CIA together with NATO in Europe. And the whole idea was that after the Second World War, the biggest problem was the East. This was also during the Cold War. And so all the NATO countries were forced to create their own ghost army. And the whole idea was that in case of an invasion, from the East, this idea with this Gladio network or ghost army was to create hundreds of small little cells of 8 to 10 people where they had buried weapon depots, fuel depots, food, radio equipment, everything needed underground. Hundreds of cells that knew nothing about each other except that they were in radio contact. And so should that country be invaded, then the leaders of the country and the creme de la creme, politicians, royalties, whatever, would get as fast as possible to London. And from London, they could then activate a whole resistance movement in one go. Boom, everything would be in location and even behind enemy lines had the nation been invaded. So it's a perfect strategy, I think, absolutely beautiful. And I even believe that my dad was involved. I think he might have been involved on the Danish part of this creation. And so every single NATO country, including Sweden, that was absolutely not a part of NATO officially, created their own NATO or Gladio network. And they went under many different names. Gladio is the Italian name, but the sort of the whole, that is the one that covers it for most people. But you got Stay Behind is another one, and so on. But over the years, when the threat from the East got less and less, what happened was that they started having new meetings, these people behind the strategy of tension, and so on. And they came up with this idea. They said, why we have all of these thousands and thousands of people highly trained in military shooting, explosives, you name it, nobody knows about them. Why don't we use them for something? And that's where the strategy of tension came. And so when you look in Europe, I have been on location on more or less all the different locations here in Europe where there's been alleged terror attacks. I've been doing undercover filming. I've been there even when the operation is still ongoing. And I predicted and stopped myself several of them and predicted 13, and I think now on international radio. I'm going to tell you how very shortly. So I've been there, I've seen it. And when you see all of these, so many of these operations that are blamed on fanatics, that are blamed on lone crazy individuals and so on, when you see what's actually went down, you're looking straight at Gladios, the bloody sword of Gladio, working in the dark, where we don't see it, we don't see who is doing it to us. But so many of these alleged terror groups, you know, like the Red Army Faction and Bader Meinhof, and so many others, the Brabant gang in Belgium and so on. When you really track them down, you will see that it's totally infiltrated and coming from Gladio. And so many things as well, you know, blowing up at train stations, airports, you name it here in Europe, Gladio, working hand in hand with NATO and the US military. So, but I tell you, I think it's come to a whole new phase the last 5 or 6 years, where I'm really putting forward what I believe is a theory, but I'm getting it confirmed by more and more people. One of them, Chip Tatum, who is a CIA whistleblower, and the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team called Pegasus. He was part of taking out 14 people. And when I told him about this story, he has helped me also to stop at least one of these operations. But he said that what I now am going to suggest, he said it's highly probable. What I believe that we are seeing a coordinated attack according to the New World Order, not just an attack on the US or England or Germany or Austria. These operations are coordinated specifically and mostly at this time at the Western world, trying to knock us out. But instead of having to train new groups and new people involved all the time for doing more or less the exact same thing, they have started using a small mobile unit, like a rock and roll group on tour. But here we're not talking about musicians, we're talking about people that are staging these events, carrying them out according to the exact same template. So many of these alleged mass shootings that I've been looking into, I've been on location in several places in the US also, I truly believe are carried out about this unit. And the unit, I call them the Global Tour of Terror, are being transported around in military planes, C-130s most of the time, from American Air Force bases to NATO bases, depending on what countries they're carrying out these operations. So the countries affected are the US, Canada, Australia, you got in Europe, it's France, Italy, Spain, Sweden, Poland, Germany, did I say Belgium, Holland, England, and Denmark. I think these are the ones, sometimes in Finland also, but mostly these are the countries. And it's just being played again and again. It's just like you see Pink Floyd on tour, you will see more or less the exact same show being performed in Frankfurt, as in Stuttgart, as in London, as in Paris, as in Melbourne. And this is also what we see here with these alleged terror attacks or mass shootings, where the group, I think, this mobile unit, it consists of military advisors, experts on explosives and pyrotechnics, directors, crisis actors, makeup artists, wardrobe. You got marketing agencies that comes up with slogans and logos. Also for product placement, there's a lot of product placement going on in these photos from these alleged terror attacks, and catering as well. And then you got controllers, handlers of this group. And so they're being transported like a small little unit, because it's very important for them to keep it as small as possible. That is also why we see an incredible recycling of crisis actors that are being used in multiple locations. And so this is what I believe we're seeing. We're not looking at a Western world that is going totally mad with Muslim terrorists screaming Allah Akbar, throwing bombs everywhere. I would very strongly suggest what we're seeing is state-sponsored terrorism, according to the CIA strategy of tension, being carried out by this mobile unit. And so many of them are staged events, that I can tell you.
So I agree with your ideas here. And thank you for that rundown of Gladio. I actually hadn't heard of that before. But the idea that there are groups capable of carrying out and staging similar attacks or events, sort of like a rock band, which is a great analogy there. It's sort of like, you know, same show, different city. And I just got done watching a movie called American Made, which was about Barry Seal, who was a drug and gun runner for the CIA. Stars Tom Cruise, the greatest actor alive. But that is proof of essentially what you're saying. It's like there are things that happen here behind the scenes that you're not supposed to know about. And it's, to me, it seems a bit naive when I talk to people in my sort of normal, quote-unquote, life about some of these ideas. And, you know, you can never go too deep with these sorts of people. You got to kind of gradually wade into the waters. And I'm curious if what's your experience with talking with the masses about these subjects? Is there a way of approaching this to get people to not put up their defenses so fast so that they can at least open their minds to hearing these ideas? Is there maybe a specific example that you try to walk through with them, like maybe like 9/11, and you say, hey, how do you think they found a passport from a plane that exploded and a building that, you know, fell down? How did they possibly find a terrorist passport? Like, is there any, you know, I'm looking for maybe advice on how do I talk to normal people about this stuff?
You had there are two things here. If I can take Barry Seals first, because he is a super interesting person, because Barry Seals was not just a drug runner. Barry Seals was one of the pilot in a group called Operation 40. Group 40, it's a group that I spent years exposing. And Group 40 was exiled Cubans recruited by the CIA in Florida in the early 60s. They were recruited and trained by people like E. Howard Hunt, Ted Shackley, and David Attlee Phillips, who was also the controller for Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged shooter of JFK. Absolute not true with Lee Oswald here. But this group were super involved as shooters in the assassination of JFK. They were also very key in the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, Robert Smith in South Africa. But they were also key people in many of the military coups in South America. They were part of the overtake of Salvador Allende in Chile and the murder of him. But they were also they're training the new military dictatorships. They're training the police as torturers, and they're becoming very, very brutal. Also developing the different death squads they were using in El Salvador, Nicaragua, many of these countries. But they were also super central in the Vietnam War. The exact same people, it's a handful of people here, in what was called Operation Phoenix in Vietnam. Condor was this whole thing in South America, where the main task was there to mass killing of Viet Cong, as well as the whole drug trading from the Golden Triangle via the Vietnam War, where a lot of the drugs were transported inside bodies of dead soldiers. It's gruesome, but many of these bodies were gutted and then they filled the bodies with drugs and pulled them in there through Air America and other airlines. Barry Seals were also involved in the Iran-Contra scandal. That's also why he ended up dead. Where one of the other pilots were Chip Tatum, my friend that I mentioned before here. He was one of the other pilots. And the most important thing of all of this is that the paymaster of this hit team, Operation 40, in Dallas and all the way up through many years, were George Bush Sr. He was in Dealey Plaza as the paymaster. That was his little task in that assassination. But it's much, much bigger than that. But George Bush Sr. has kept these people like Felix Rodriguez, David Morales, many, many others, very close to him and carrying out these very brutal operations through his whole career and so on. And then assisted by, when it came to the whole Iran-Contra scandal with weapons going out from the National Guard, being sent down in big army planes, C-130s or medevac planes, down to El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, to arm the Contras. Then what they did, these planes, was they returned with loads and loads of raw cocaine. And it was through this illegal imports through airports like in Mena, Arkansas, where the whole drug epidemic, that crack epidemic and cocaine epidemic that have destroyed the U.S. were started and controlled from. And the key people in this were George Bush Sr., who was there. Chip even filmed him personally there, sometimes receiving the drugs, and a young man called William Clinton, who was the governor there at that time. He was there together with his brother in crime, or partner in crime, Dan Lassiter, personally receiving these drugs and then starting to distribute them in the U.S. to the different gangs in Chicago, L.A., the Crips, New York, all of these whole things. So Barry Seal, very, very interesting person to look into. And I'm in direct contact with several people that have worked around him and next to him and so on. So he's much more than just a pilot and a drug trader. He was also the one that built up what was called the Enterprise, this whole drug import, joining the different drug families down there, so that they made a whole drug industry called the Enterprise under the control of Oliver North, that was working directly under George Bush Sr., and then starting this whole thing.
Man, I'm happy you went into Barry Seal, because you would think I would be I would have a a more critical mind, but I didn't even catch this, because now that you're saying it, like, I just got done watching the movie yesterday, and I joke, but I really do like Tom Cruise as an actor, and I'm watching the movie, and the idea I had walking away from it until just now talking to you was like, okay, Barry Seal was this guy who was just kind of like a simple fella from down south, and the CIA got him to start doing all this stuff, and, you know, he was a good guy, but just got caught up in this sort of drug thing. But in the movie, it actually has a lot of sort of little keys into what it is that you're saying, because in the movie we see that he's talking to a young Pablo Escobar. Of course, we're talking about the Iran-Contra thing, which has its own, you know, conspiracy and brings the coke and the crack into American communities. But it's also curious, because at one part in the film, Governor Clinton calls to get Tom Cruise's character Barry Seal off the hook, and in my head, being naive and simple, I was like, oh good, you know, he's not gonna go to prison, yay, you know. But I didn't think, why would Governor Clinton be involved with this? Why did he call to get him off? And it's like when you watch these mobster movies, you start rooting for the bad guy and without thinking. And that's very curious that you're saying all this, because now I've got a good amount of research to do on this subject with Barry Seal.
But Barry Seal was this really funny guy. I mean, Chip and I know other people who knew him. He was a really easygoing, fearless, incredible pilot. I mean, that whole thing is true. What he did with a team of assassins was that he was the pilot for them. I don't think he ever did a violent crime ever, but he had this skill to build up this this whole empire, not for himself but for the Bushes and the Clintons and so on. And he also got assassinated in the end. The guy that Chip overheard Oliver North give the death order, or the final one, take him out, over the phone, and the people, it's the official story is that it was other drug cartels from South America that came up and took him out. But he was totally set up, and he was assassinated January 86, just about 1 month before the Swedish Prime Minister Olof Palme, that was also involved in these whole things, where Oliver North and George Bush Sr., very, very central in the assassination of Palme as well. And on his body, Barry Seals, when he was shot dead, one of the things they found in his wallet was the direct phone number to George Bush Sr. Oh. And you know, Barry Seals, he loved airplanes, and he was bathing in money. He had like millions and millions. So he bought this, I don't know if he was given it, but it was like the latest super duper twin engine plane. I can't remember the exact model. Mm-hmm. That plane, when he died, it disappeared, and then suddenly it turned up owned by George Bush Jr., the exact same plane, the serial numbers. I've got the photos of George Bush Jr. and so go figure. And also what Chip said was when they flew, the reason why they flew to Arkansas was that there was this small little airstrip in Mena, Arkansas, where they could fly in, you know, during the night, even massive big military planes without nobody really noticing. And it was because Clinton was totally in on it because he was the governor at the time. But in Florida, the people receiving the drugs there were Jeb Bush and George Bush Jr., or Boy George, as I call him. They were the people personally receiving these drugs. So when you look at people in these positions, well, they're the president. I'm very sorry. No, they are super, super, super criminals. That is what they are. And Hillary, don't get me started, because Bill and Hillary has a body count from here to New Jersey. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how many bodies that are in their footpaths, you know, like with former bodyguards, witnesses against them. Also, this whole thing with Mena, Arkansas. And I also want to tell you that you mentioned this Oklahoma City bombing, that a friend of mine was offered that job. His name is Cody Snodgrass. He's a whistleblower now. Anyway, when the first explosion went off, everybody, I mean, it was horrible. The idea was that the whole building was supposed to go down. There were several more explosives placed in the building, in the Alfred P. Murray building. But when the explosion went off, it was only one part, one side of the building that was destroyed. So many people came running, you know, trying to help. I mean, there was all of these children and women dying in the rubble. So many came to help them. And then suddenly somebody shouted out, secondary bombs, evacuate the area, evacuate the area. So everybody had to leave, leaving these poor victims there dying in the rubble. And in came two vans with, about eight people in blue overalls that went straight into the rubble, straight into the what remained of the building, and pulled out very specific file cabinets, put them in the vans, and took off. And do you know what was in these specific file cabinets? They were, among other things, the cases against Hillary and William Clinton for the Whitewater scandal and many other crimes that had been transported to that very building right before the explosions. That is how you get rid of evidence. So, wow. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Clinton, I'm my friend here, Max Egan. I don't know if you're aware of him. He's an international researcher. I heard him get the question, do you vote? And he said, no, I don't support organized crime. I think that is a very good observation. Sorry if I rambled on, but I just want to say also, you were talking about the conservatives, the Republicans, if you start studying how this whole power structure is built, you will see that in every single country, there is this setup with a political setup where you have two major ones, the right or the left, the green or the blue, the red or the whatever, and then you got like four or five minor ones in the middle, so that you get an idea of, well, if I choose the left, then I this, or the right, then that, and then in the middle is for all of the who can't really make up their mind, or is sort of like, I don't really want to do anything. I just want to do it the safe way. Mm-hmm. But once you start seeing how they're connected, you will see that it's just different arms, different tentacles of the same octopus. So what looks like that they're really fighting each other or arguing, many, many times behind the scenes, they are friends, they're partying, it's a deception. This is the thing. It's come to a point where the system has been hijacked, and the people that get in there when you get up to a higher level, they're corrupt. Otherwise, they wouldn't get there. So this is really, really sad to see.
Well, now I've got a lot more to research on this movie I just got done watching. This is fascinating stuff. I think this is a pretty valuable tool, especially for a lot of people that are considering these ideas of false flag attacks and so on. I think you've laid out a pretty good argument here with your talk about the templates, and of course the Barry Seal example is great because you've got politicians involved from the right and left wing It's very clear that something is happening. We're out of time, but I would like for you to share with the audience where they can find you and learn more about your studies and research.
I've done between 500 and 1,000 interviews, so there's plenty out there.
Wow.
My website is lightonconspiracies.com, conspiracies.com, because there's so many more than one, even though so many of them are, just like I mentioned with the octopus before, you come back to the same place so many times when you really dig into these things. You can find me on Patreon. I do daily videos, more or less, also where I try to empower people and not just drown them in very dark and sinister stuff. I've got my newsletter, my membership area, and so on. These are the ways that I get some kind of funding, because I'm a one-man band. I've been doing this for 35 odd years, and so it's not that, since I stay away from organizations, I stay away from groups and so on, because they so easily get infiltrated, and then you just end up in a massive discussion where it leads nowhere. So I stay on my own track. But I would very much like to answer your question also, what you said, how do you speak to normal people or that are not aware of this? It is that so difficult, because once you start becoming aware, you just want to share, oh my God, have you seen this? Have you seen that? It's incredible. And many people get very intense, you know, and the people around you that loves you start seeing what is going on with him. He's getting all weird. He's getting all worked up. What's going on? And so they start avoiding you also, because you start to challenge their whole reality. Because if what you are saying, they have to rethink their life. They had to sort of like, holy macaroni, what's going on here? And so I would very much suggest avoid speaking to family members, avoid speaking to your spouse, avoid speaking to people at work or something like that. And then to start with, because it will end up in a conflict. They will just try to keep you the way you were before you turn strange, the way they see it. It's just like if somebody had joined the Jehovah's Witnesses. So most of us become so intense that it's the exact same energy we are sending out. And if you don't trust me, if you get going, bring up a mirror and have a look at yourself. How would you feel if somebody was this intense with you? You would start avoiding them. And many people is experience exactly this whole thing, that they feel very alone, very isolated and so on, because nobody understands, they have no one to talk to. So use the internet and use different groups to find like-minded, where you can just get the steam, let the steam out get into an understanding and discussions and learning from each other and finding out stuff and so on. And then lift each other and also show that you can carry this type of information without becoming all black and dark and too much. Yeah. So this is what I try to do. And I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize a few years ago. I was also adopted by the Apache Nation for the way they see it, is that I'm fighting everyone's war, and they stand by my side, because this is it. We're in this together. It's not, and the, one of the other templates that are being used against us is divide and conquer. They want to divide us. They want to that we start fearing each other due to color of your skin, the religion, the nationality, whatever, instead of seeing that, listen guys, we're all in this together. We need to sort this mess out. And the way to do it is by starting to see what's going on, wake up through this whole thing, break the spell of fear, get some distance, get some fresh air, let the truth do the work, let that do the work. Non-violent, absolute non-violent, otherwise we are in their ball game. And they will just totally destroy us. The thing they fear is the truth. So let the truth do the work.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I like that. Let the truth do the work.
And then let us create a beautiful future together. I know we're running out of time, but is it okay if I end with a prayer?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual being, and here we go. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness. So victory to that light.
That's beautiful. Hey, thank you so much. You've been a great guest on here. You've went into subjects that, honestly, I didn't know we were going to end on such a positive note. That's great. Because, like you know, like you're aware of, a lot of the stuff can get you into a really dark headspace if you go too deep into it. And like you said, it's difficult to talk to people from your daily lives about these subjects. A lot of them think you're crazy, but you know, you get excited to share the information because it seems so obvious and clear that there's a control agenda. But I think you left everyone with a great piece of advice to let the truth do the work. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for your closing prayer. And, you know, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. God bless. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. It's where you'll find a free copy of The Dark Path. You can also get that free download code for my Area 51 video, which is available on gumroad.com/IsaacW. There's also signed paperbacks and all sorts of various goodies on that webpage. Again, thank you for your time. Thank you for the reviews. I see all the reviews dropping on iTunes and Podbean and so on. Much appreciated. I'll be back next week. I've got a lot of stuff to catch up on. We're going to talk about dead celebrities and we got all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about some real heavy-duty conspiracy stuff again. So, as always, be your best for those who deserve your best.